1260 AM Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Rena Roy. This is the fourth day of what will now be a six-day truce between Israel and Hamas. 11 Israeli abductees are on their way to Israeli territory and in the custody of the Red Cross. Former President Jimmy Carter is expected to attend tomorrow's funeral for his wife, Rosalind.
You can't overestimate how much time they spent together. They were in this little house that they helped build in Plains, 1961, the same house. I once calculated that the Secret Service vehicle outside the house was worth more than the little house that they lived in.
ABC contributor and Washington Post reporter Mary Jordan. A Vermont man accused of shooting three Palestinian college students has been ordered held without bail. Jason Eaton pleaded not guilty to three counts of attempted murder. He may also face hate crimes charges. Opening statements underway in the racketeering trial of rapper Young Thug. A judge ruled prosecutors can conditionally use his lyrics as evidence in the case. This is ABC News.
Say it with me, the Bucks in six. And you could catch every play, every score, every Milwaukee Bucks game on Lake Air Radio, WLAK 1260 AM.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The state prison in Green Bay is a powder keg waiting to blow. That's according to Alloway Village President Jim Rafter, who says the aging lockup is a danger to the whole community. He says state leaders need to put their differences aside and find a solution.
We need the governor and the legislature to come together and say, okay, we have a problem. That problem is GBCI. It's not safe, and we need to replace it. So what's the best path forward?
Rafter on Upfront on WISN-TV. A conservative pressure group is turning up the heat on Wisconsin Assembly Speaker Robin Voss. The same group that targeted Voss with a $100,000 ad campaign says it's launching $250,000 worth of new ads. The Wisconsin Elections Committee wants lawmakers to impeach Elections Commission Administrator Megan Wolf. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. A Brevator man was seriously injured in a garage fire last week. The 64-year-old man was reportedly trying to save items from the garage after it became engulfed in flames and was transported to St. Mary's Medical Hospital, where he was reported in serious but stable condition. Fire crews were able to extinguish the garage fire quickly, and no other structures were damaged. The Minnesota State Fire Marshal's Office is investigating the cause of the garage fire, and no foul play is suspected. The Wisconsin Department of Financial Institutions and Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection have joined to stop scammers from taking advantage of Wisconsinites during the holiday season. The organizations are reminding residents during Charity Fraud Awareness Week to take steps to ensure their money goes to actual charities. Residents should not open links in unsolicited charity messages or make payments in response to unsolicited calls, and verify charities are legitimate. And that's what you need to know. I'm James Kelly, WLAK News.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
The Bucks with a comeback win. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks were down 26 points, but came back to win 108-102 over the Portland Trail Blazers at Fiserv Forum. It was the largest come-from-behind win in the NBA so far this season. At one point, the Bucks' Giannis Antetokounmpo scored on a tip-in, then ran the length of the court and blocked a shot for a basket by Portland head coach Adrian Griffin.
He's one of the greatest players to play this game. And he showed it tonight.
The Bucks play in Miami tomorrow night. NFL, the Packers are back at practice today. Their next game is Sunday night at Lambeau Field against the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, yesterday, the Chiefs were down 14-0 to the Raiders. They came back to win, though, 31-17. College football, the Badgers finished out the regular season with a 28-14 win in Minnesota. Running back Braylon Allen rushed for 165 yards and scored two touchdowns.
It was good. I'm just happy that we won the game and the team played well.
That's Wisconsin running back Braylon Allen. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast. Mainly clear tonight with a chance of flurries. Lows around 6 above.
Northwesterly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. 26 tomorrow, overcast. Lows around 20 tomorrow night. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK 1260 AM. Right now, 15.
The Green Bay Packers call Lambeau Field home, but did you know the stadium has a history all its own? It started with where to build it. Residents on both sides of the city wanted it. Officials argued there had to be room for growth. Eventually, farmland was purchased, but in Ashwaubenon. The bargaining continued, and in 1956, the land was annexed to Green Bay. Green Bay City Stadium became a reality the following year and was renamed in honor of team co-founder and coach Curly Lambeau in 1965. For Civic Media, I'm Terry.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us. From the heart of the St. Croix Valley, we're in touch with you. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station. Okay.
Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome back to the second hour of Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you statewide on Civic Media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. I wanted to follow up on the wolf discussion. Very glad to get that call from Bill of Oconomowoc, experienced hunter. Very, very strong feelings and knowledge about the DNR. And I agree with him 100%. I do not think pups should be shot. I don't think pregnant wolves should be shot. I don't think female wolves. It should not be done during the mating season. What happened was a year or two ago, a right-wing judge said, ordered a hunt, I think it was in February, and it hit or exceeded the quota, the limit, the first day practically. The DNR should be the one who assigns the time period, probably in the fall. They should set the quota. And if, in fact, it's true, as the lawsuit alleges, that the public comment period was held open for some people and not others, in other words, it was closed, but certain hunting groups could, that's not right. It should be kept open or not kept open. The group that was behind the February wolf hunt a year or two ago were hunter groups from Texas and Kansas. Well, good for them. I applaud them. Good hunting. They can go hunt elk in Montana. They can hunt deer here in season. But they should not have inordinate political influence to somehow get a wolf hunt timing that they want, but that hurts the management of the wolf pack. So where do we stand? There are 1,000 wolves roughly in the state today. So like 65,000 farms, about 18 or 19 have had a problem with an animal taken by a wolf. There are advocates that say that non-lethal strategies can contain the number of wolves. I'm not an expert, I don't know, but the DNR has to evaluate that. It has to evaluate it fairly like any other input. Then what level should they set them at? The Farm Bureau wants 350. There's 1,000 right now. I think people that really know the subject best think it should be between 8 and 1,200. Well, right now there are 1,000. That seems about right. But the bottom line is they should get input from people like Bill of Oconomowoc, who's an experienced hunter and has had experience in this issue. And not from radio talk shows. They should get it from people who hunt, conservationists, people who have an interest in making sure that there are sound management practices at the DNR. So, Bill, thank you for your call. Great call. Okay, here's the deal. We are experiencing an increase in violence in this country over the events that have happened in the Middle East, starting October 7th. And I feel quite strongly about this, and I will tell you what I think we should do. There have been incessant protests by people who are anti-Israel. They say they're pro-Palestinian, but many of them are pro-Hamas. Many of them taunt and make fun of the torture that Hamas entered into on October 7th. That has nothing to do with Palestinian interests at all. And lately, what they've done is they have attacked Jewish people, vandalized buildings that either were donated by Jewish donors or associated with Jewish people, and disrupted the popular culture and the popular economy. I'll give you an example. Over the weekend, the New York Library, a fellow named Steven Schwartzman, donated a building. They vandalized it. The Macy's Parade, the Thanksgiving Parade, one of the most famous parades in the country, they disrupted it. Then they went over nearby Starbucks and took it over. Drove the customers out, just took it over. The whole time they were shouting Intifada and from the river to the sea. Last week, they blocked access to Penn Station in downtown New York, which is the main access point in and out of the city for a lot of trains. There's a fellow named Mahmoud Musa who just was sentenced to 7 years in prison because after October, actually, this was before October 7th. This thing is several years old. It was his first file. He did this about 2 years ago. He was part of a mob that went out looking up to beat up Jewish people on the sidewalk. They saw a Jewish guy walk along with a yarmulke on in Times Square. And they pepper sprayed him. They maced him. And when he was defenseless, they started to kick him and they would have killed him. There was a cop, it wasn't a cop nearby. It was a hate crime, it was charged. This poor guy had a concussion. He wears a neck brace. He said, I would have died if the police officer hadn't been nearby. A crowd showed up in the courtroom to taunt and yell at the judge. There's a 15-year max for this crime. She gave him 7 years. The courtroom had to be cleared by police officers because they were shouting that the judge was a racist. Now, here is the deal. The victim and the court personnel and the media then had to be escorted out to their cars or to their transportation so that the mob wouldn't set on them. This has been going on all over the country, and it's got to stop. In return, this is coordinated. In return, there have been lone wolf attacks. A terrible attack up in Burlington, Vermont, just this weekend, where three boys, young men, college students of Palestinian descent, were shot by a guy. Guy walks up and just plugs them. They just arrested him, by the way. There was that little boy in Illinois who was stabbed to death. His mother was stabbed. These are lone wolf attacks. These are not planned or carried out by a mob. But you cannot continue to have the kind of coordinated mob attacks and protests by people who hate Israel, in many cases support Hamas, and hate America, hate liberal democracy. And let's just talk about the First Amendment right now. This is a very, very important point. Because I do not want more lone wolf attacks in response, and I don't want more mob violence against our Jewish American friends and compatriots and veterans, guys I serve with in my ship. We're not going to put up with that. A lot of people go, oh, well, it's a protest. We have a right to protest under the First Amendment. You do. You have a right to assemble and petition the government is the terminology. But yeah, a protest, a peaceful protest. But you cannot do that and shut down Penn Station, disrupt the Macy's Parade, vandalize the library in New York, take over a Starbucks, and roam around the street looking to beat guys up. There's a very, very important exception to the First Amendment that most people don't realize, and I'm going to tell it to you right now. I've litigated these cases. There's one form of speech that is not protected, and that is heckling. If you go hear a speaker you don't agree with and you start to heckle them to drown them out and you're arrested and you're given a forfeiture for disorderly conduct, you can't say, I was just exercising my First Amendment rights because I was yelling, I didn't agree with what he said. That's not protected. Murder is the worst kind of heckling. When you intimidate and kill people who disagree with you, that's not protected. When you lock them in a room and beat on the door to scare them, it's not protected. At MIT, they took over the main hall, and Jewish kids who had classes had to go through side entrances. That's not protected. That's not protected. When you close down train stations, when you close down traffic, they took over a bridge, that's not protected. That's not protected. But what is the remedy? College presidents, college administrators have been chicken. They haven't done anything. I think what has to happen, and the most nonviolent way to do it, and to discourage lone wolf attacks like the one in Burlington, Vermont, like the one in Illinois, which are wrong, and these people should be prosecuted to the full extent of the law, but they're not concerted mob violence. The concerted mob violence are all people who get together to reinstate the equivalent of a Nazi-type atmosphere in Germany in the 1930s against Jewish students, and we're not going to put up with that. The first thing that has to be done is that faculty and students who participate in this kind of intimidation have to be expelled or fired if they're faculty. If they are here on student visas or work visas, they've got to be revoked. They've got to be deported. There has got to be a consequence. You put in for a parade permit or you go, you can protest. Do not shut down the economy or transportation, and do not intimidate people. Somebody's got to stand up for it. These same things have happened in Los Angeles, Boston, elsewhere in the country. On Black Friday, so-called, this is where you go shopping and everything's a little cheaper, supposedly. Never been convinced of that. They disrupted Black Friday sales events around the country. All this results in are lone wolf responses, and eventually they're going to be coordinated responses. And that we cannot have either. That we cannot have either. Many of these college administrators are frankly much too weak to do anything. There were 100 members of the Harvard faculty. Presumably they've read the First Amendment, even the ones who aren't lawyers. When Harvard put out a plan to stop anti-Semitic intimidation at Harvard, for Pete's sake, 100 faculty protested and said it violated their First Amendment rights. First of all, most of them came from countries that don't have First Amendment rights. And if you and I went over there, we'd be arrested just for being there. But secondly, the First Amendment doesn't protest intimidation, doesn't protest heckling. Because everybody has First Amendment rights. Okay, coming up, John Fetterman, one of my favorite senators, standing tall in Pennsylvania. You'll hear all about it.
Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Chris from Middleton. Welcome to the show. What do you got for us?
I'm a Democrat. I totally agree that there's been too much corporate influence probably in the Democratic Party. I liked how Bernie talked about economic issues, and I agree we need more of that. But I don't think we can also afford to shy away from the identity politics. In fact, we got to lean into the identity politics and not be shy about it.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 till 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Welcome back to Meth and Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. You know, John Fetterman, he's the senator from Pennsylvania, beat Oz. Mehmet Oz. Remember him, the Wizard of Oz? Jose Mehmet Oz. John Fetterman is literally one of my favorite senators. This is a guy, I think he's like 6'8", you know, wears a hoodie. Then the senators passed something that said he had to look more preppy, which I thought was a big mistake. I like the way he looked. Why shouldn't he look the way he wants? But John Fetterman, you have to remember how he came into this, lieutenant governor, and then he ran against Mehmet Oz. Mehmet Oz has a TV celebrity, Dr. Oz, TV celebrity, a lot of money, money up the wazoo. Mehmet Oz had a very peculiar aspect to his background, though, for a guy who's running for the U.S. Senate in Pennsylvania or anywhere in the United States. Mehmet Oz, his parents were born in Turkey. Mehmet Oz was born here in Ohio. His father's a doctor, and so fine, he's American. But for some reason, Mehmet Oz, when it came time for military service, did not serve in the American military. He served in the Turkish military. Turkish military has been involved in some things that I don't know what Mehmet Oz did in the Turkish military, but he would not have wanted that to come out publicly, I can tell you that. Then when it came to voting, Mehmet Oz lived in New Jersey, but he didn't vote in New Jersey. He didn't vote in Pennsylvania. He didn't vote anywhere in the United States. He voted in Turkish elections. Some of these European countries, not all of them, will let people who are shirt-tail citizens, either because of their parents, which is the case with Oz, or because they have dual citizenship. He has dual citizenship with Turkey, by the way. They'll let you vote. But it's kind of weird that a guy's running for the Senate from Pennsylvania who lives in New Jersey and votes and does military service in Turkey. Well, Fetterman, to his credit, you know, he didn't make a big deal out of any of that. He just spoke his piece and he won. He's a great guy. And then he has some medical issues. He has depression and now he's cured of it. And I think very highly of him. He's a wonderful guy. But he's taking a lot of flack nowadays. And this is something that's endemic in the Democratic Party. And I want to deal with it straight up. And it started, or it came to the surface, because of what happened on October 7 in Israel from Hamas. But it had been brewing a long time. Like all mainstream Democrats, Mehmet Oz is a strong supporter of Israel, strong supporter of a two-state solution, strong supporter of the rights of Palestinians to have their own state if Israel's security is guaranteed, but a strong supporter of Israel. And as a result, he's getting incredible flack from around some progressives in Pennsylvania saying, well, no, we don't want that. We don't want you to be a strong supporter of Israel. And he's standing tall. And I just want to give a shout out for that. He stands by his convictions. He's a very humane guy. And I think that most people who give any thought to the question will say we want people to live in peace and in their own state, but without torturers and Nazi types like Hamas and ISIS coming in and killing folks. And he makes no bones. I think he's going to get reelected when he runs again by a large margin. I'll support him. Terrific guy. Terrific John Fetterman. By the way, one thing that's always frosted me, really has frosted me, is how Republicans will go, well, Biden is old and he has gaffes, frequent gaffes. What's a gaffe? What a strange word. You gaffe an alligator. I mean, come on, what's a gaffe? Who didn't? Ronald Reagan did, but what they overlook are a couple of things. Donald Trump is about 3.5 years younger than Biden. Donald Trump will be in his 80s if he were elected also. So give me a break. But more importantly, I want to give you some of Donald Trump's gaffes. These are more than gaffes. I've argued before, and I stand by it, that he has early onset. This guy has early onset. You know, Reagan had more than early onset. People knew it, but he'd already was in his second term. It was too late to do anything about it. He had a good cabinet who rallied around him. Trump is not going to have a good cabinet if he ever snuck back in the presidency, and he's flat out on his way to being bonkers. But here's some of the stuff he said. He was talking to Tim Cook. Tim Cook, the president or the CEO of Apple Computers. And he would repeatedly call him Tim Apple. And he wasn't doing it to be cute and funny. He really wasn't. Well, Tim Apple, if you know Biden did that, you know what they'd say. He referred to Paul Ryan as Ron. Instead of calling him Paul, well, he called him Ron. When he was talking to Kevin McCarthy or about Kevin McCarthy, he referred to him as Steve. Now, if Joe Biden referred to Kevin McCarthy as Steve, Paul Ryan as Ron, and Tim Cook as Tim Apple, that would have been on the front page of everywhere. This is the kind of stuff that he's done, and somewhat recently. He also, thinking he was going to try to pretend he had civil rights chops, said something about Frederick Douglass, thinking that Frederick Douglass is alive right now. Frederick Douglass actually met with Abraham Lincoln. He's been dead 150 years maybe. But then what he did was, what Trump did was, when he was president, he was supposed to sign an executive order. This big fanfare, and he brandishes the pen and grins at everybody and walks out. He forgot to sign it. So here's the deal. Folks say, well, you know, I'd like a younger president. Well, I want a president who's experienced, honest, knows what he's doing, an expert, and that's Joe Biden. And anybody shines me with this business of gaffes, you can put any spin you want on it, what I just described, as a gaffe as opposed to early onset dementia. And I'll respectfully disagree with you, but okay, it's a gaffe to call Tim Cook Tim Apple, to call Paul Ryan Ron, to call Kevin McCarthy Steve, to talk about Frederick Douglass as if you were talking about Dr. Martin Luther King recently. To say, I'm going to do a big photo op on an executive order and wave at everybody and grin, show my pearly whites, and then walk out without having signed it. He physically has to sign it. He cannot have it signed by his secretary. He is not permitted to sign it by fax. They had to go after him. Here, you got to sign this thing. Okay, let's say you say it's a gaffe. Biden's are a gaffe. I do not think that it was a gaffe. I think he has early onset. But whether you believe that or not, let's quit shining me with, well, Biden does gaffes. The other guy is pure as the driven snow. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? The other guy is what, young? 3.5 years. He'll be in his 80s when he's president. So let's stop all this baloney about the gaffe business. About the gaffe business. Coming up, the fake elector prosecutions are starting to pressure Trump. Why don't we have one in Wisconsin?
Connecting with you on air, online, and on the Civic Media app. This is Lake Air 1260 AM, WLAK, Amory's radio station. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know.
Wisconsin commuters say a second Amtrak round trip from St. Paul through Milwaukee to Chicago will make their lives easier. Passenger Christian Bird speaking with ABC News.
It would be easier to leave in the afternoon because it's kind of like herding cats when you're getting a little kid out the door.
The second route is expected to launch sometime next year. COVID-19 rates in Milwaukee County appear to be spiking after the Thanksgiving holiday weekend. About 99 people in Milwaukee County are in the hospital with COVID-19. That's 50% more than a week ago. The county's chief health policy advisor is urging people to get the latest booster shot. It's designed to guard against the specific strains going around this year. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. A Brevator man was seriously injured in a garage fire last week. The 64-year-old man was reportedly trying to save items from the garage after it became engulfed in flames and was transported to St. Mary's Medical Hospital, where he was reported in serious but stable condition. Fire crews were able to extinguish the garage fire quickly, and no other structures were damaged. The Minnesota State Fire Marshal's office is investigating the cause of the garage fire, and no foul play is suspected. A popular Wisconsin convenience store is about to become even more convenient for customers. Quick Trip has announced that all new locations and those completed in the last 6 months will be equipped with two self-checkout stations. Currently, the company does not plan to add self-checkout machines to older locations. The company also made it clear that the stores that receive the self-checkout stations will hire the same number of employees as the locations that do not get self-checkout. And that's what you need to know. I'm James Kelly, WLAK News.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
The Bucks with a comeback win. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks were down 26 points, but came back to win 108-102 over the Portland Trail Blazers at Fiserv Forum. It was the largest come-from-behind win in the NBA so far this season. At one point, the Bucks' Giannis Antetokounmpo scored on a tip-in, then ran the length of the court and blocked a shot for a basket by Portland. Head coach Adrian Griffin.
He's one of the greatest players to play this game. And he showed it tonight.
The Bucks play in Miami tomorrow night. NFL, the Packers are back at practice today. Their next game is Sunday night at Lambeau Field against the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, yesterday, the Chiefs were down 14-0 to the Raiders. They came back to win, though, 31-17. College football, the Badgers finished out the regular season with a 28-14 win in Minnesota. Running back Braylon Allen rushed for 165 yards and scored two touchdowns.
It was good. I'm just happy that we won the game and the team played well.
That's Wisconsin running back Braylon Allen. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast. Mainly clear tonight with a chance of flurries. Lows around 6 above. Northwesterly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. 26 tomorrow, overcast. Lows around 20 tomorrow night. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 16.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Like smelt fries and music on the river, we're uniquely Amory. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station. UK.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn, Director. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, the fake elector prosecutions and investigations in other states are starting to turn up the pressure on Donald Trump. And they're dovetailing very nicely with Jack Smith's investigation. And now his filing, his indictment in Washington, D.C. And the question remains, why is there not a fake elector prosecution in Wisconsin? Here are the facts. There were fake electors mailed in from Georgia, Arizona, Michigan, Pennsylvania, New Mexico, Nevada, and Wisconsin. Georgia, Arizona, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Nevada, and Wisconsin are so-called swing states. New Mexico hadn't been seen necessarily as a swing state, but they bothered to turn in fake electors there anywhere. Anyway, here's the status. In Georgia, there were 16 fake electors. Three of them were charged because before the charging decision, many of the others had agreed to an immunity in return for testimony against Trump. The three that have been charged and have not yet pled out have all argued in their briefs that they did it at the direction of Donald Trump. That is a very, very important fact for Jack Smith in Washington. Ken Chesbrough, he was one of the architects. John Eastman was the intellectual architect. Ken Chesbrough was the architect in terms of executing it. He asked for the ability to travel. Remember, Ken Chesbrough pled guilty in Atlanta. And when you do that, there are restrictions on your travel and a lot of other things. He asked for permission to travel to Nevada, Arizona, and Washington to meet with counsel. Now, his own counsel, obviously, but to meet with the prosecutors and the investigators in Nevada, Arizona, and Washington. To me, that signals the only reason he'd do that voluntarily is if he doesn't want to get indicted in those places, too, for being part of it. Because remember something, when you're part of a mini RICO conspiracy, you don't necessarily have to have met with or done something with every other one of the co-conspirators. You don't necessarily have to have been in the state. There are people that Fannie Willis has indicted in Georgia who were not in Georgia for it. But Chesbrough said he needs to travel to Nevada, Arizona, and Washington. He didn't say he needed to travel to Wisconsin. Why is that? Because there is no prosecution in Wisconsin, so therefore he has no exposure. In Nevada, they are investigating six fake electors. They have six, fewer than we do, obviously. We have 10. And we expect that there will be indictments coming down. In Arizona, there's an investigation underway for their fake electors. And their attorney general has made it quite clear that this may well result in prosecutions. In Michigan, there were 16 fake electors. Remember, we only have 10. The reason for Michigan 16 is they're a bigger state. Pardon me. And they have been charged. In New Mexico, they've launched the investigation. Pennsylvania is an odd exception. Why is that an odd exception? Because in Pennsylvania, they were crafty enough, sly enough, smart enough to say that if the courts determine that Donald Trump is in fact the elected president, then we would be his electors, but only under that circumstance. Okay, well, the courts had already said he was not. So it's kind of a dumb, sneaky, sly thing to do. But it would have required some hurdles to get over to prosecute them. So in Pennsylvania, they're not prosecuting them. In Wisconsin, they didn't do that. They just flat out, bald faced, said that they were the electors. And they weren't the electors. Joe Biden was the president, elected president. A little over 20,000 votes. Remember, Donald Trump paid a lot of money to recount the votes in Milwaukee and Dane County. Nowhere, not upstate. No, Milwaukee and Dane County, hoping to find something. You know what they found? They found that there were some errors, and Joe Biden got about 200 more votes in Milwaukee than they thought. So nevertheless, Voss set up a conference room for him, didn't advertise it. There was communication that it should be kept secret. Giuliani wanted it kept secret. Chesbrough wanted it kept secret. Giuliani and Chesbrough could be indicted in Wisconsin for being part of it. Ron Johnson had the fake electors in his pocket, Michigan and Wisconsin, and made his chief of staff send them, call up Pence's chief of staff to send them as a basis for Pence not to recognize the real electors. That's indictable conduct right here in Wisconsin. Fitzgerald is reputed to have helped set up the conference room. That would have to be developed in grand jury testimony. But of the 10 fake electors, one's a former chairman of the Republican Party. One was an elected official up in Ishwaubenon. There were officers in the Republican Party throughout the state. They should be indicted by the Attorney General. That has helped the overall prosecution by Jack Smith of Trump enormously in these other states. People can't take the risk of going to jail, so they plea bargain. And they get probation, or in some case they get immunity, but they have to testify. And when they testify, it's called a proffer. So the good prosecutor says, all right, the guy wants to testify. What's he going to say? The lawyer says such and such. Judge says, all right, if he'll say that under oath, I will, that's of interest to me. And then I would give him probation, immunity, whatever the deal is. And they bring him in. The guy has to say it himself to the prosecutor. This can't be just laundered through lawyers. They take notes, maybe under oath, may not be. But if then he gets on the stand in the prosecution of Donald Trump, lies and says, I didn't say that, or blah, 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 then he will be prosecuted. None of that is happening in Wisconsin. None of it's happening in Wisconsin. We are not a Pennsylvania where they were slippery enough to say that, well, we're not saying we're the electors, but we're saying if a judge says we are, then we would be the electors. What? After the judge has already said that you're not? Give me a break. Give me a break. Go to the lines. Wisco Paul, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Wisco Paul?
Hello. Hey, good afternoon, Matt. Hey, very quickly here, I see that a group is going after Voss to impeach Megan Wolf again, and that's just insane. But one of the best things we could do in the state of Wisconsin is fair maps. That would create a better atmosphere for people to run for office, and it would alleviate a lot of the problems we have in the state. It would be harder for you just to run to your corner and yell and scream. But I don't get these people. Like, they want to I'm not a fan of Robert or Robin Voss, by the way, but people that want to spend, I would consider a lot of money to get him to impeach Megan Wolf. And this just drives me nuts. I just want fair maps and fair elections. Thanks, Matt.
Yeah, thanks, Paul. And I like it when you call in. Let's say you are our conscience. It's a way to remind everybody. Let me give you the background on what Paul just said, Wisco Paul. And then tell you one anomaly that happened in the Wisconsin Supreme Court on it. But Wisco Paul is referring to is that there is a group of right-wing people who put up $100,000 for ads on TV and in the Milwaukee Journal saying that Voss had to impeach Megan Wolf. And then they lied about Megan Wolf and said things that weren't true about her. And Voss felt the heat. So he sent it to a committee, hoping to get them off their back. Well, they now put in $250,000, Paul, $250,000 and they are going to be on TV. You'll see it in your, wherever you live, you'll see it on TV. You'll see it in the newspapers. And they say false things, like Megan Wolf is the one that had illegal drop boxes. Megan Wolf is a staffer. She's an executive staffer. She does not make policy. The board, 6-0, voted for the drop boxes. A right-wing judge in court said they were no good. That should be reversed, but that's not Megan Wolf. There's nothing wrong with drop boxes. They use them in Utah, and that's a much more Republican state than this one. That's number one. Number two, they try to pin on Megan Wolf the fact that the Wisconsin Election Commission, not her, the commission, said that because of COVID, we wanted old folks and old age homes, Racine County, to vote, so we'll mail them ballots. And now you have clowns saying that that should result in the indictment of what? The board members who voted for it, all except the one board member who then recanted, although he voted for it, and said he was for Trump. This is fascist stuff, okay? This is Russian stuff. This is Germany in the 30s stuff. This is not American stuff. That's number one. Number two, there's a judge entered an injunction that said that they can't go after Megan Wolf until the judge, it's a woman in Dane County, issues a final decision. They can't go after her. They're going after Voss because they know that in Mount Pleasant, that area where he represents, Trump got mad at him and endorsed his opponent, a guy named, I think, Adam Steen, a 29-year-old guy with no discernible credential to do anything. And the guy comes within a couple of thousand votes. He came within, I think it was like 51-49. It's very close. An unknown takes on the speaker. So Voss knows that the crazies are out there. Voss is playing along with the crazies as much as he thinks he has to. But Voss doesn't want to go to jail either. And if he somehow launches an impeachment of someone who committed no crime, has done nothing corrupt, she's of impeccable character, they want to put in a Gableman type, if not Gableman, somebody like that, who will call into question our elections. Wisconsin's got to stand tall. It's as simple as that. We have got to stand tall. And that is what Wisco Paul was talking about. And one of the things that really frosts me is Rebecca Bradley. She's not the good Bradley, not Ann Walsh Bradley. She's fine. Rebecca Bradley is one of the three justices who voted not to certify Joe Biden. One of them didn't run for re-election, and that's when Janet Protasiewicz came in. But there's still two of them on there. Rebecca Bradley's one of them. And the other day, she's spouting off on the bench saying that the legitimacy of the court is in question. That is a rich one. What she's saying is we've already decided unrigged maps. So if you try to make them fair now, because the oral argument was last week, that calls the legitimacy of the court into question. No, it doesn't. That cleans up the doubts of the legitimacy of the court. I personally tried a case in the Supreme Court, or I argued it, Johnson Controls, where they overturned an opinion that was very recent on the insurance of environmental insurance for large companies. So I don't want to bore you with the details, but they do frequently change their minds in cases. And this time, when you had really a rigged, corrupt decision saying that that rigged maps are what we need, the fact that Janet Protasiewicz is now going to go for fair maps, and this, what, Rebecca Bradley says the legitimacy of the court was in question? It was in question when she was in the majority. That's when it was in question. And the same thing is happening now with the attack on Voss and the impeachment of Megan Wolf. Coming up, Biden did something magnificent, attacking Russia and comparing what they're doing in Ukraine in destroying crops to the Holodomor famine in the early 1930s. I'll explain.
Because you're mine, I walk the line. Because you're mine.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. The bakers of Country Hearth and Village Hearth Breads are proud to support local education with Loaves for Learning, the program that makes it easy to earn money for your school. Enjoy Country Hearth and Village Hearth all-natural breads, buns, bagels, and more, then save the UPC from the package for your school to collect and redeem. Each is worth 5 cents and can be used for books, computers, sports, music, whatever your school needs, up to $10,000 a year. Learn more at loavesforlearning.com. Country Hearth and Village Hearth Breads, baking our best for you.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Guys doing chores. How would that do on TikTok?
Sounds like you should be wearing like short shorts or something.
We're not going to exploit you in that way. I think it's more about your Q-tip action and
phrasing, Jane. The way you're saying it just sounds like one big double entendre.
Delicately in the crevices.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
Once upon a time, you dressed so fine. Through the bumps of dime.
Welcome back to Mets and Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We go to the lines. Jim of Williams Bay, my friend. Thanks for calling. Jim, what's in your mind today?
Hey, Matt. What did you do?
Real good, Jim. What's on your mind today? Okay, Jim hung up. Going back to the lines. Tom, my friend, thanks for calling. What's in your mind today, Tom? Tom of West Allis.
Hi there. I know we're running out of time, so I'm going to make this quick. Two things. I was listening to Morning Joe this morning and or this afternoon on YouTube. But anyways, he is saying that we should do it like we should just do it and start calling Trump fascist Trump and keep using the word fascist. And I agree with that. We got to run that home. The Democrats really need to start putting out of all and the other ones that are putting out all this stupid rhetoric about things that we should start calling them all fascists. The other thing, I want to know, why are we not prosecuting these fake electors? Why is our guy, and I cannot think of his name off the top of my head, why isn't he doing it? What is preventing him from doing it? And that's about all I have.
No, that's plenty. You said a mouthful. I agree with you. Trump is doing what was done in Germany in the 30s and Italy in the 20s. And Josh calls the attorney general, call up his office. He knows why he's doing it. I don't know why he's doing it. I would do it if I were the attorney general. Everybody else is doing it or investigating it. It's essential that it be done. Joe of Madison, my friend, thanks for calling. You're next. What's your mind today, Joe?
Great discussion, and I really encourage people to give it a listen, what you had in this last segment where you talked about the Megan Wolf and what the Republicans are trying to do in terms of driving her out. One of the things that interests me about all this, Matt, is that, as you have said, she is a staffer. She does not make policy. She implements policy that the board comes up with. And they are talking about impeaching this young woman in the prime of her career. Previously, they'd had $100,000 in this campaign to run newspaper and TV ads against her. And now, apparently, it's come up to $250,000 in Wisconsin to run against a staffer of the elections board. I find this fascinating. And it seems to me, if you start to look in any thriller or any mystery, it's follow the money. Who's got the money to do this and why? Do they really think that there's going to be a groundswell of people calling a boss's office and say, go ahead with this election, when there aren't grounds to do it, when it's very clear within the Constitution that there has to be evidence of criminality or evidence of corruption, and there is none for this woman, Megan Wolf. She seems to be on solid footing to me. What I wonder about is, what do they expect to achieve? Do they expect that boss will go, oh, you're right, we'll just go ahead with this phony baloney impeachment, and then what? You know, just tie her up in the courts so she can't do her job? What? I don't understand what the end result they expect to get out of this, that they really expect to impeach when there isn't any grounds for impeachment. So I know that you've gone over this again and again, but I find what's interesting is that they have upped the amount of money to go after this staffer who is not in charge of policy. What is it? Is it just because she's a woman and it looks like, well, we'll go for a weak link here? I do not understand why they're not going after the board if they really feel that that's the problem. Thanks a lot, Matt. I appreciate it.
Excellent question. And I would simply say this, Joe, and I'll repeat something I said before. Chaos, violence, and fraud. They use all three to disrupt elections, cast them in doubt, discourage people from voting, and then if they have the right staffers in there, try to overturn them. What they are trying to do is get rid of an honest staffer. You're right. She has no policy chops at all. She's forbidden from doing policy on her own. But they want a staffer in there whom they control. And I mentioned Gableman. And if a staffer, for instance, remember, there are over, 1,200 clerks. There's more than one clerk per county, you know. I mean, every little town has a clerk. And they call for advice. You can have a guy like a Gableman type, I'm not saying it'll be Gableman, give them the wrong advice or shrug and say, I don't know. And they may make a decision that stops people from voting. This is part of the fraud thing and the chaos thing. The violence was January 6th and a lot of other death threats. So it is absolutely to cause chaos fraudulently in our elections. Thanks very much, Joe, as always. Lee of Yuba, my friend, thanks for calling. Lee, what's in your mind today?
Thank you, Matt. Wonderful program going on.
Thank you.
The one thing I wanted to comment on is the fact that I have written, texted, I've emailed, and I've called Josh Call's office asking him why he was not prosecuting our fake electors. And I've heard absolutely nothing. Is there anything that we can do through you possibly as a lawyer, or anyone else that could get this guy off a dead center and start making these people pay for their sins? And I'll let it be with that. Thank you.
That's an interesting call, Lee. And there is a legal thing, and I was involved in it a long time ago here in Milwaukee in one case, and it just came up in another case. If a prosecutor declines to prosecute a crime that you think is a crime, there is a mechanism where you can bring that to a judge and ask the judge to appoint a special prosecutor. Now, usually that might be done in terms of a street crime or a murder or something of that nature where the prosecutor doesn't think there's enough evidence. It would be an extraordinary event, Lee, if somebody went to a judge and said, the attorney general is not prosecuting the fake electors. I want you, under your authority of the statute, to appoint special counsel to do it. That would be a lift. I would be sympathetic to that, but I want to be very, very clear because this is a reality show in a sense. I mean, what we have on the show is hard facts, hard history, and then we talk about it. I could say that, what I just said, but the odds of an elected Wisconsin judge doing that, I think, are so remote that it would not be successful. But that's the only thing you can do. Otherwise, call again. I mean, say, why is everybody else prosecuting these people? And here you had the U.S. Senator, for Pete's sake, with them in his pocket. And then you had the speaker set up a sneaky conference room and order everybody to keep quiet. It's just not right. I mean, it's just flat out not right. Coming up, a lot of news, weather, and more importantly, another great show. Diamond Crute, Devil's Advocate, some very, very fine stuff. Matt Flynn Direct, back same time, same place tomorrow. Signing off for today.
In touch with the City of Lakes. In touch with you. This is Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Ho, 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 ho. Auto Value has once again teamed up with Toys for Tots to help deliver hope to less fortunate children this Christmas. Now through December 15th, you can drop off a new unwrapped toy or cash donation at any participating Auto Value parts store. Your toy or cash donation will not only help Santa, but also allow one more child to experience the magic of Christmas. On behalf of everyone at Auto Value and the North Pole, we thank you.
You're listening to Lake Air,
WLAK 1260 AM Amory,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.